Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. The guy who gave us Cougar Town and Scrubs is back with a new comedy. Bill Lawrence says he's created Undateable to be a throwback to the kind of shows we used to enjoy. And he explains that coming up as well. In the meantime, Josh Trank goes from the Fantastic Four to Star Wars, and plenty more Penny Dreadful is on the way. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
He gave us Scrubs, he gave us Cougar Town, now Bill Lawrence is back. Bill has brought to NBC his new comedy called Undateable, one that he put together carefully, constructing it from several different directions. One of the most important, though, was choosing the right cast and the right roles for each of those cast members as well. For example, he wanted to be sure that when he added a gay character, it didn't come across as a standard comedy cliche.
You know, I think is always nerve-wracking when you do a show is that you don't want to ever... be somebody that it's like, oh, you know, you have this cliche, you have this gay character, or something that people have seen before. The important thing, one of the other producers of this show is a guy named Miranda Winston. He's my longest adult relationship. He's a gay man himself. I'm not outing him as he's married and has kids. But one of the things that we really like the idea of talking to him about that I don't think we've seen on the show is, or in a comedy, we all hit him up for stories about when he was first coming out and how awkward it was to deal with his buddies, and you know, kind of how awkward and weird it felt for him to be part of a gang of friends when in his head everything had changed and their heads things hadn't changed. So it's just kind of a funny story generator for us. And you know, we have a couple people working on the show that can just kind of funnel in their own personal stuff, and we put them all right on the show.
Then there's the overall chemistry of the cast.
It's part of the battle in a sitcom is making it seem like people are friends and have chemistry, and part of the idea behind the show is casting people that are friends in real life and you know, in the modern landscape, and you only have a couple episodes to establish that. It kind of helps that all these guys and girls hang out anyways, you know.
Shot before a live studio audience, Bill wanted to be sure that Undateable's cast consisted of people who were used to working in that kind of environment.
Yeah, we went out and scouted comics. I love stand-up. I'm just an absolute fan. And the first two people we met were Brent and Rick. Rick Glassman, Brent Warren, two guys that not only have very specific voices comedically and different from each other, you know, so you could tweak the parts to them, but at the end of the show drive home together and live in the same apartment and had an easy chemistry that we were like, wow, if those guys can act at all, it'd be great to have them in the part. The funny part of that was, so we cast Brent and Rick and Ron Funches, who all knew each other first, and we didn't have the lead of the show, and Chris DeLeo was still on the show with me at the time, and Brent made the mistake of saying, my mentor in comedy is Chris DeLeo, and we made the decision to go ahead and give Chris the part. He didn't have to audition. We just offered it to him, you know, and had to wait and see if his other show kept going or didn't keep going. It was going to be good for Chris either way. But the fun part of that story was, you know, this is Brent's first job ever, and there was about 3 days at the Comedy Store that Brent got to go up to Chris and say, hey, Chris, you know, we're kind of finally on equal footing. I've got a TV show now, too, you know. And then we gave Chris the part of the lead, and Chris, you know, we went out to the Comedy Store to see those guys, and Chris was like, hey, Brent, remember your TV show? It's my TV show now. And then on the poster, it's like Chris walking with Brent over his shoulder. And just seeing Chris torture Brent that way immediately became the big brother, little brother dynamic on the show.
Again, the style of the show and the experience of the players involved was very important.
No, you know what? I've been in the business for a long time, man, and when I started out, there were comics in every show, you know, because the multi-camera skill set involves, first and foremost, being funny. Secondly, being able to vibe off the audience and hold for laughs. And third, you know, acting, you know. And obviously, none of these guys and girls would have gotten the parts if they couldn't also act. But for some reason, not only have we gotten away from that, but as there's less and less multi-camera sitcoms, it's a skill set that comics have more than most people, you know. You can cast a young actor or actress right now, and most of them have not been in front of a live audience that way. Stand-up saw every night. So I had no reservations. You know, I was a fan of Home Improvement, of Seinfeld, of Drew Carey's show, of Roseanne. You know, those were the multi-cameras I grew up on. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed, when the second you get comics, if a joke doesn't work, they sense it, and they just change it on their own, man. It's the ultimate gift.
Bill emphasized not to let the title fool us. Undateable, not just a show about being, well, undateable.
Well, look, anybody that's seen episodes of the show will see that, you know, we did 13 episodes, and maybe one or two are about getting somebody a date, you know. What the show is really about, and it'll probably sound way too deep for a multi-camera sitcom, is Adam and I, you know, tell everybody, like, everybody on Earth, men and women, go through an undateable phase in their life due to bad jobs or insecurities or money or the way they dress, and most of us get out of it. And it's about a group of friends and people that are stuck there a little bit. And whether it's because they're divorced or, you know, searching for something. And even Chris's character, somebody that can't hold on to things. And so when we pitched the show, we brought pictures of ourselves along of our most undateable. For me, I had peroxide blonde hair and earrings. I just looked desperately like a kid from Connecticut who so badly wanted to be cool with bad peroxide hair and earrings. It was really bad. But so to me, what the show is about is a group of people that would probably be very sad and lonely were it not for each other. And, you know, ultimately, my favorite multi-camera sitcoms, Cheers and Seinfeld and Friends, you know, all that. They're all shows that you would say, hey, these characters are kind of sad if they didn't have each other to lean on.
Unlike Scrubs and Cougar Town, the characters on Undateable are at a different stage in their lives.
I think if people were wallowing in sadness, yeah, I think that there's a burden for these people to, you know, to have some victories and to hopefully be funny. But, you know, if I went and pitched Cheers tomorrow and said, hey, what's it about? It's about an alcoholic bartender who can't stop having empty relationships, and the people that habitate his bar that hate their lives so much they just want to sit on chairs all day. You know what I mean? I think it'd be a hard sell. for me, there's something very identifiable about this point in time in their life. And I think one of the reasons that it's not that big of a tightrope act is, A, these guys and girls are all funny, and B, they're all very young, you know. And I hope that everybody kind of remembers the struggle of their youth, you know, to kind of get a toehold.
Catch back-to-back episodes of Undateable Thursdays on NBC and see what you may have missed right now at NBC.com. Summer's getting underway. Everybody's a little busy, but we'll take some time for the latest in pop culture. Josh Trank, who's busy right now rebooting the Fantastic Four for 20th Century Fox, has been chosen as another one of those directors who'll be doing a standalone Star Wars film for Disney. As you know, these films will alternate with the regular new films in the new Star Wars reboot. Trank, of course, known for Chronicle, but he also did a Star Wars fan film back in 2007 called Stabbing at Leia. By the way, you can catch that on YouTube. Josh is the second director announced for the new standalone Star Wars films. The first was Gareth Edwards, who also just completed the Godzilla film. Penny Dreadful's getting a second season from Showtime. It'll be an even bigger one than this one, with 10 episodes in the second season. The show has been doing about 4.8 million viewers since its launch a few weeks ago, and so far is the most watched new show ever on demand for Showtime. I want to make a note about a new series called The Almighty Johnsons. It's actually a hit in New Zealand, but it's been picked up here by the Sci-Fi Network, and it begins a run on Sci-Fi in July. It involves four typical guys, at least that's what they say, who inherit the powers of the Norse gods. Almighty Johnsons begins on Friday, July 11th at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sci-Fi. It might be missing the white and the blue, but there'll be plenty of red for an American Psychos movie marathon. It'll take place on the Epix channel on July 4th. Among other things, it'll include the world television premiere of the 2013 version of Carrie, along with films like You're Next, Break Down, The Frozen Ground, The Usual Suspects, Silence of the Lambs, and Primal Fear. You can see more and get the entire lineup at epix.com. Check your local cable provider to see if you get the Epix network. Archie is reviving Sabrina the Teenage Witch in a little bit different way. They're following the success of their other hit, Afterlife with Archie, using the same creators to bring back Sabrina in a new series called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, done in a much more realistic fashion than any other previous Sabrina series. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina will debut with a few variant covers and be in stores in October. An interesting mix when you look at the top 10 best-selling graphic novels in May in the bookstores. Starting at number 10, it's Batman Volume 4, Zero Year, The Secret City hardcover from DC. Monster Mizumi from Seven Seas is at number 9. Sex Criminals, first volume from Image, is at number 8. Also from Image at number 7, Saga Volume 3. And again, Walking Dead Volume 20 hits the number 6 spot. The Marvel Encyclopedia, updated and expanded, is the number 5 best-selling graphic novel in bookstores. Naruto Volume 85, The Perennial, comes in at number 4. Godzilla Awakening, the hardcover from Legendary Comics, is at number 3. And two volumes of Attack on Titan hold the number 1 and number 2 spots. Attack on Titan Volume 1 is number 2 and the first best-selling graphic novel in bookstores for the month, Attack on Titan Volume 12. Marvel's moving ahead to get Doctor Strange on the big screen by announcing a director, and that is Scott Derrickson, who you know from films like The Exorcism of Emily Rose and Sinister as well. Gives him some pretty big credentials for the film, which so far is not on the schedule of Marvel movies. However, that's expected to change sometime by the end of the summer. That does it for the podcast. We're back every week, twice, in fact, on websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com, and, of course, in the iTunes podcast directory as well. But you can keep up with pop culture 24-7 right now. Listen free to the world's only pop culture network, The Point Radio, at GetThePointRadio.com and on any mobile device with a free app called iNet Radio. Get that at iNetRadio.com. And get back here to see us again in a few days. Get the-